Here's a number that should stop you cold. 88% of apparently healthy, asymptomatic individuals, people who feel fine, who passed their last physical, show detectable coronary artery disease on comprehensive screening. That data comes from Fountain Life's diagnostic data set of over 15 billion data points. Not a small trial, not a cherry-picked population. 15 billion data points. And yet, the standard annual physical almost never catches this. That gap between what your body is actually doing and what your current tools can detect is the central performance problem we're solving today. Let's start with the most mechanistically significant regenerative protocol I've come across in recent months. Dr. Joseph Purita, board-certified orthopedic surgeon, roughly 40 years of clinical experience, CMO of Pureform, laid out the full case for MuCell therapy on the Ben Greenfield Life podcast, and the numbers are striking enough that every optimizer tracking biologics needs to understand this distinction. Standard mesenchymal stem cells, MSCs, operate primarily through paracrine signaling. They release exosomes, they reduce inflammation, they support repair. But here's the ceiling. Standard MSCs achieve less than 1% incorporation into target tissue. Purita's exact framing was a major difference in the world of biologics. MuCells, multi-lineage stress-enduring cells, identifiable by their SSEA3 surface marker, achieve approximately 15% incorporation. That's a greater than 15-fold difference in therapeutic precision.
And the mechanism is categorically different. MuCells don't just signal. They phagocytose damaged or dead tissue, internally analyze the transcription factors of what they've consumed, and then differentiate into the specific cell type the tissue requires. That's not repair. That's regeneration. There's a practical delivery advantage, too. Standard MSCs delivered intravenously tend to get trapped in lung capillaries. The cells are sticky, the pulmonary surface area is enormous, and most of what you inject never reaches the target tissue. MuCells, driven by SCA3 receptor activity, home to the target. They migrate. That distinction matters enormously for systemic applications. On safety, MuCells carry low tumorigenicity risk because telomerase activity is low. Telomerase shorten normally, capping the cell's proliferative capacity. They haven't demonstrated teratoma formation. Contrast that with induced pluripotent stem cells, which do carry tumor formation risk. Purita's clinical position is that MuCells will likely replace iPS cells in practice. The protocol here is a sequenced pre- and post-treatment stack that Purita uses to maximize engraftment outcomes. Let me walk you through the key levers. Weeks before a regenerative intervention, the goal is to prime the system. Intermittent hypoxia therapy, IHT, cycles between roughly 9% oxygen in the hypoxic phase and 40% oxygen in the hyperoxic phase using a calibrated device. Critical note, breath holding does not replicate this.
The hypoxia-inducible factor threshold requires genuine calibrated equipment. What you're stimulating is endogenous EPO production and stem cell mobilization from bone marrow. You're priming the environment before exogenous cells arrive. Building on that, 20 sessions of hyperbaric oxygen therapy, referencing work from the University of Pennsylvania, has been shown to increase circulating stem cell output by approximately 8-fold. Purita runs an air break protocol drawn from an Israeli study. 15 minutes on pure oxygen, 5 minutes mask off, repeat. That cycling pattern activates oxygen-sensing machinery associated with telomere lengthening and regenerative signaling. The delta on that graph, circulating stem cells before versus after 20 sessions, is not marginal. It's an 8-fold increase. In parallel, NEO40, a nitric oxide precursor, signals bone marrow to release stem cells into circulation, functionally replicating the mobilization mechanism of HBO between sessions. Pareta takes this daily, and Celbex, originally developed in Japan as an ulcer medication, potently stimulates heat shock protein formation. Pareta's framing here is important. What we call heat and cold shock proteins should really be called stress shock proteins. They respond to heat, cold, hypoxia, specific light wavelengths, any significant physiological stressor. Taking Celbex before sauna or cold exposure amplifies the HSP response and upregulates protein chaperoning pathways that protect against misfolded protein pathologies, including neurodegeneration. On the day of treatment, the protocol calls for EBO2 first, extracorporeal blood oxygenation and ozonation.
Blood exits via IV, passes through an inverted dialysis filter, mixes with ozone outside the body, then passes through a photobiomodulation step, exposing it to 6 wavelengths of light before returning to circulation. Pareta reports that filter fluid analysis has confirmed removal of mycotoxins, PFAS, glyphosate, viral loads, and petroleum products. You're reducing inflammatory burden and clearing toxins before the stem cells arrive, creating a cleaner engraftment environment. Post-treatment, the peptide triple stack is BPC-157, TB-500, and GHKC via subcutaneous injection. One important safety rail here: GHKC has demonstrated anti-cancer properties and is considered appropriate even in oncology contexts. BPC-157 and TB-500 are flagged by Pareta as not appropriate for individuals with active cancer. Hydrogen water immediately post-procedure is another key piece. Molecular hydrogen is one of the most potent known antioxidants, and unlike vitamin C, it penetrates directly into mitochondria, the primary site of oxidative stress. One critical prep note: hydrogen water must be consumed immediately after preparation. Commercial hydrogen water loses most of its active hydrogen before you drink it due to off-gassing. Freshly prepared only. Now let's shift to the biomarker layer, because the regenerative stack only works if the underlying metabolic environment supports it. Dr. Eric Berg's framework, drawn from his May 2026 live Q&A, centers on a diagnostic gap that's almost inexcusable given how long we've known about it.
Fasting glucose is a late-stage marker for insulin resistance. By the time fasting glucose is elevated, you've typically had years of metabolic dysfunction that went undetected. Fasting insulin below 5 micro UIUML is the sensitive early signal, and HOMA-IR below 1.5 is the derived optimal. Neither is routinely ordered on standard panels. Request both specifically, or pull them direct to consumer. More importantly, Berg flags that standard coronary artery calcium scores do not detect soft plaque, the rupture-prone variant. Soft plaque is invisible on a CAC scan. You need specialized vascular imaging. And the intervention data here is striking. 2 randomized double-blinded placebo-controlled trials showed that aged garlic extract at over 2,000 mg per day not only slowed soft plaque progression, it significantly reversed it. The placebo arm worsened by approximately 50% over the same period. That delta, soft plaque burden at baseline versus 12 plus months on aged garlic, is one of the cleaner nutrition intervention effect sizes I've seen in cardiovascular research. On hormones, Dr. Deborah So's data from the Rubin Report documents a 40 to 50 year declining trend in male testosterone that holds after controlling for aging and lifestyle confounders. The primary mechanistic driver is endocrine disruption,
xenoestrogens in food packaging, synthetic fragrances, pharmaceutical estrogen in municipal water supply. The elimination protocol here is straightforward but requires commitment. Replace plastic food storage with glass or stainless steel, never use plastic for hot food or beverages, eliminate synthetic fragrances from personal care, and install reverse osmosis filtration.
These aren't marginal interventions. They're removing the primary antagonists from your hormonal environment. Pair that elimination protocol with the Mediterranean anchor meal that Fountain Life's Dr. Don corroborates. A primary evening meal built around fatty fish, salmon, sardines, mackerel, with diverse vegetables. You're delivering DHA and EPA directly, no conversion required, alongside polyphenols and prebiotic fiber. Food diversity, not just food quality, is what Dr. Don identifies as the primary driver of microbiome resilience and downstream immune modulation. One more domain that most performance optimizers systematically underweight, the psychological and relational load on the autonomic nervous system. A prospective study cited in the Peterson Academy lecture on psychological risk measured depression, anxiety, COVID worry, perceived stress, and loneliness before illness onset, and found that individuals with two or more concurrent high-severity risk factors increased their risk of post-COVID condition by 50%. Psychological baseline measured before illness predicted physical disease outcomes. That's not a soft correlation. That's a mechanistic risk multiplier. The PSS, PHQ-9, GAD-7, and morning HRV are not secondary wellness metrics. They're leading indicators of physical vulnerability. Building on that, relationship therapist Mercedes Kaufman's framework on the Chris Williamson podcast provides a mechanistically grounded explanation for a category of chronic stressor almost no optimizer tracks, emotionally unavailable partners. The physiological mechanism she describes, intermittent variable reward driving dopamine spikes, followed by cortisol surges and progressive serotonin depletion, cycling the HPA axis through repetitive micro-grief loops, is identical to established addiction neuroscience.
Her direct quote, "Avoidance and emotional unavailability is changing people's nervous system, and it is much more harmful than we think it actually is." A 2021 study in the Journal of Couples and Relationship Therapy found 63% of people experience relationship self-sabotage, with fear of rejection as the primary driver. The quantified self protocol here is concrete. Track morning HRV, sleep quality, and mood variance for correlation with relationship contact patterns over a minimum 2-week window. If HRV trends negative and sleep architecture fragments in correlation with specific relational dynamics for more than 2 consecutive weeks, treat that as a physiological stopping criterion, not a soft emotional judgment. Your autonomic nervous system is giving you the data. Use it. Finally, a signal worth folding into your travel risk model. Data from the CSIS Global Health Policy Center documents 14 million children globally who have never received a single vaccine, zero-dose children, with coverage gaps that widened during COVID-19 and haven't fully recovered. Travel-related measles transmission from Ukraine to the United States occurred as recently as 2019. If you have an international travel profile, verify your immunization currency before departure. TD-TDAPAP booster every 10 years. MMR titers. Polio series completion. Consider serological titer testing as part of your annual biomarker panel, particularly if you were vaccinated before 1989, under single-dose schedules where immunity may have waned.
This week's N of 1 experiment. Poll fasting insulin and HOMA-IR if you haven't already, and run a 2-week HRV log correlated against your primary stressors, relational, dietary, and sleep variables tracked in parallel. You're looking for the signal beneath the noise. The body is already sending it. Thank you for spending this time optimizing with me. That's your performance intelligence briefing for today. Come back tomorrow and we'll keep building the stack. Optimize your day. Talk tomorrow.